sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am not Rolando. There you go.
Hi, not Rolando.
And I'm Jay Flo.
And welcome to our monthly special, Crash Course 4 by Kornberg. This week we are reviewing The Brood. As always, y'all give us the plot in five words.
Cronin,
give our first thoughts.
And boning a thumb.
I forgot. Croning and boning at their listeners. A lot of croning, but not a lot of boning in this one.
No, there's a lot of croning and maybe some boning off screen.
Yeah. We'll give our first thoughts. We'll go into deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are reviewing John Carpenter's Suburban Screams.
And it's... What? It's good.
Okay.
It is exactly what you think a show would be like with a director who would remotely direct from his comfy leather chair at home.
So John Carpenter's Suburban Screams debuted in October on the Peacock, and it's basically like a TV docudrama. We've reviewed something like this before, Haunted.
Yeah, and that was terrible.
Yeah. But I feel like, well,
this is slightly less terrible.
This is slightly less terrible. That makes sense. I thought that the drama part, whatever, the reenacting. Oh. the reenacting was pretty good. I mean,
What'd you think of John Carpenter's Western twang for whatever reason in the intro? I was like, why does he have an accent? He's from California.
Yeah. Well, he's obsessed with his favorite filmmaker's Howard Hawks. So he imagines himself a Western director. No, I actually can't explain that at all. That's a John Carpenter question.
He's also so, like, what, 90 or some bullshit, right? So,
I know, yeah. John Carpenter, just definitely getting up there in age.
Yeah. What to say about
John
this
Carpenter episode? Just wouldn't put his name on anything. So,
No, not at all. Not since 2001.
Yeah, since 2001.
Yeah. Okay. So this is about it's a retelling of a story. This guy is hesitant to tell because he's afraid people won't believe him, but he's still able to tell it in great detail, which makes me think he's a liar about that. Maybe he tells everybody this story.
I mean, that's always the initial, like, compounding thing about these movie shows is just you don't believe them. There's no believing anything. You just assume it's just like embellished or bullshit or you know, some variation of both. So
it's like, oh, I don't want to tell people this because I just know so many details that, you know, nobody knows about. Like, okay, this guy saw Ju-on Origins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. And then to top it off, there is a song that he is influenced to. He thinks is influencing him to find somebody that had been murdered. And it's an awful song. And on top of that, he's in a car with somebody like, no, listen to this song, listen to the lyrics. And they're like, they play this song like 80 times a day.
What? Technically, this is Canada.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know,
different.
It's either whatever that was or LFO.
It's true.
Some sort of other Canadian, Our Lady Peace or something, dude.
Nardwar the Human Serviette. Just yeah. Interviews.
Yeah. What is it? So essentially, what happens? So what I really liked right away was like the striking beginning, because it's like, I was actually quite intrigued by the beginning, because it's basically like we see this body wrapped in this red thing or whatever, and it's floating down a river, and then they do like a shot from the inside, and you see like a woman breathing, trying not to drown and stuff. And I'm like, this is very kind of alarming, interesting start.
Yeah.
And then we meet the real life people, and we kind of he starts telling the story of how they're connected, basically.
Yeah, this guy, and then they do the reenactment, and it took me a minute to figure out which one he was supposed to be, because they did the classic, like, this dude is clearly way taller, way more handsome, like, completely different hair color.
Yeah.
You know, when you fuck a Ouija boards, it changes your anatomy with the psychoplasmics.
Of the brood?
Yeah, that's what happened. He changed his physiology.
So basically these two friends, they're at a party, and they accidentally summon the ghost of a local murder victim, and the spirit is trying to communicate to them where he is.
When I was watching it, I was under the impression they knew who this person was, and they're like, oh yeah, a friend we haven't talked to in a long time. That's what I was gathering. I didn't realize it was like somebody that had nothing to do with them. And only one girl was like, no, that person went missing. It's freaking me out. Okay. Something like that, right? I don't know.
Something to that effect. Yeah.
Kind of lost focus about what was going on midway through. I was like, what?
Yeah. So the idea is that they like, you use a Ouija board, but it's not really a Ouija board. They did it over a pizza box. Empty pizza box. They made a makeshift Ouija board.
Yeah, because this dude was like, no, I can make a Ouija board. And from memory, was like, yeah, this is how it is.
Yeah.
I do this shit all the time.
Yeah. It's one of my party tricks. I make Ouija boards.
And then he does a thing where he like pulls the cord on a lamp to scare everybody, but like the cord to the lamp is clearly in plain view of everyone.
Yeah. I did enjoy him when the ghost, you know, is able to reach him or is talking to them.
Oh yeah,
the whatever Ouija board, that the guy just starts puking all over.
Yes,
because this was not a little bit of puke. This was like a river of puke all over everybody,
making it seem like he also swallowed all the creek water, river water, whatever.
Yeah,
was puking it up. Which I'm like, yeah. Okay, where are the receipts for this one? Because
I like the embellishment of it. Yeah. He was peeking up the river water, which I'm assuming was maybe would happen to the victim, I guess.
Or yeah.
Something like that.
It was also like leaves and shit.
Guys
swallowed a beaver. That's what happened. And then just like, that dam got released.
Trash. Condoms. Like, <"Bleh.">
Hypodermic needles.
Yeah.
Epstein's files. They're like, oh no.
The financier?
The financier.
Financier.
Yeah, so what? He gets obsessive about trying to find out where this lady was murdered, and then has visions of, which I saw this twice and I still cannot fully comprehend what I saw. I'm not sure if she got stabbed to death, or if she OD'd and they didn't know what to do with her, so they put her in a bag and threw her in the river.
Yeah, I was just as confused, and I'm surprised that might be one omission is they don't really, without getting too far ahead of us, they don't really explain what happened to her. We were just only left with maybe his sort of like POV of the incidents, but it's very, very ambiguous who it is, because I think that scene was only there to tell us like who the murderers were, or like the people who put her in the bag, or I wouldn't even call it a bag. It's like they,
it's a wrap, like a camping thing, case or
tent
something.
Something like that. The ODing is what I got too. I would say that's what I picked up on. But then she woke up anyways. Like she kind of, they thought she was dead, so they freaked out or something.
Yeah, and then she just drowned.
She ended up drowning. Yeah, but they don't say if like it, like without getting too far ahead, like they, once it's like the body is recovered, they don't really go into explicit detail like the show as to the condition she was in, or you know what I mean? Like,
no, it is 45 minutes of just like this actor who I'm guessing is thinking they're getting their first big break because they're really hamming it up. Acting like, oh, I'm going insane, or like, no, you don't get
it. Yeah.
And then it's like, her body's in the river. And these two hikers are like, oh my God, there's a body in here. And I'm like, how do you know that? It's a fucking bag. And then that's what it ends. It ends with the actual guy going like, I don't know, saying something stupid again. Like, I wish I had never touched that Ouija board.
He was Canadian. Yeah. He was Canadian.
Hey, how's a boot? We never talk about this, eh? And then it plays that stupid song again as it pans out.
So, you know what this reminded me of? The whole story, the whole premise, the whole thing here reminds me of Stir of Echoes.
Oh, Stir of Echoes.
Yeah. It's basically the plot of Stir of Echoes, right?
Yeah, that's true. So this guy is 1 degree away from Kevin Bacon. Fuck.
Fuck.
It's true. Can't get away from Kevin Bacon.
They had the same haircut.
The same pierced ears.
That's the pierced ears.
Yeah, but there's like a lot of nobody believes him. There's some jump scare moments too, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because it's like Kelly or is the name of the victim keeps popping up randomly where he's at and scaring him. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like just dramatic, drowned looking effects for makeup. And then at one point, I think some guy's like, I believe you. But this is like, this ghost has fallen in love with you, so wants you to help her. Like, oh, okay. And when he realizes that, she becomes human like again. And it's like, Kelly, you don't get it. You're not alive. I'm like, okay. You're dead. I kind of wish they had just used Patrick Swayze's lines from Ghost. Like, you're dead, Willie. And just like keep adding Kelly, you're dead, Kelly. You're dead.
Dead is dead. Pet Cemetery.
Jesus wept. Hellraiser.
Cemetery 2. I think like I thought overall, like, so if we had to compare this to Haunted, I thought the production values were better. It was slicker directing, editing, you know what I mean? It was a little more
entertaining all around. Yeah.
Entertaining, better like cut together episode wise, so didn't feel really like, maybe it had more of a modest budget than Haunted, to be fair. Because, I mean, both these shows are doing the exact same thing, but Haunted did seem like a little bit of a like cheaper version of whatever this is.
Like, the crew is probably like 8 people, that type of show.
Yeah, Exactly.
I only say that because I worked on something like that before.
The Haunted or the Suburban Screams version?
I forgot what it was called. It was a murder reenactment show, and I had to like put fake blood and shit everywhere. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But with that said, I had to look at actual forensic files from the cases and be like, you got to kind of recreate this. I'm like, do you really want me to? This is gross.
Yeah.
And or not as dramatic as you think it would be. Like, it's,
yeah, I'm assuming you got to, like, that's the whole point of the drama part. It's not the authenticity. It's the, how can we make this more compelling?
Yeah.
Part of it. But okay. I think we both agreed we're going to stick around because none of our other shows are back. So we're going to stick around for this one.
And also the episode titled Bunny Man isn't for another 2 episodes. So we got to stick around for that one.
And there's only 6. We've seen worse. We've seen the best. We've seen Blood Ride.
We've seen Blood Ride.
We've seen a lot of everything else after that. So...
I think we just keep, you know, comparing apples to oranges. It's not fair.
It's like, I don't know, comparing apples to gold. Yeah. It's one of those comparisons.
Well, that's John Carpenter's Blood Red.
Yeah, that was John Carpenter's Blood Red. Yeah. I don't think John Carpenter would be bothered. He just put my name on it. Give me my money.
Yeah, that's fine. Who's the thing at the end? Fuck off. That's
it. It's like, did you watch the movie? It's all there.
And watch it again and then buy it on DVD and Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray, 4K restoration. Yeah. Pretty good. One more. All right, John. Let's strap in. We're going for a ride.
We're going for a Cronin and Bonin-a-thon.
Yeah, we're watching The Brood. Our main review. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For the Cronin and Bonin-a-thon entry titled The Brood, coming in at number 3, we plant pumpkin seeds face.
The first guy.
No, there's there's a part towards the end. Somebody, they're trying to cover a body, and they just pull this piece of paper that had kids scribble "We plant pumpkin seeds" on it, and that just resonated with me. I feel like it's important to the plot. I don't know how. All right, coming in at number 2 for the Cronin and Bonin-a-thons, The Brood. Never trust men in turtlenecks.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there's a character named Hal, whose entire wardrobe comprised of just turtlenecks. To a degree where I thought there was going to be a big reveal, but I was mistaken. Coming in at number 1 for The Brood, children killing adults with kindness.
It's true.
Yeah, because there was a lot of little ginger tapping. Not a whole lot of aggression going on. And I've got a bonus because I've been trying to do a This Is Cronenberg's This or That. And I've got Cronenberg's Divorcee Bubble Babies Era.
Yeah. Yeah, so clearly he was going through a divorce. Very clearly.
And he really, just like, he really wanted his ex-wife to be covered in warts and pustules and then produce a bunch of babies that she can't take care of. Yeah.
It's like, this is what I think of the children you gave me. So this movie was, I thought we were watching, like, well, I guess we picked 3 Cronenberg movies and then we picked Videodrome. So I thought we were watching them sequentially, but we are, but I guess what I'm saying is that This isn't his second movie. This is like his third movie.
Yeah, we skipped over
Rabid.
Rabid.
I have it pulled up here, yeah. And we'll probably skip over Scanners only because we've seen that movie. I don't think we're going to add much else to the conversation in that one.
I think there was a Scanners too, though, right? But he didn't make that one, I don't think.
No, that was just his, I have his IMDb open. He has like Scanners 3, Scanner Cop, Scanner Cop 2. It's like with the spinoffs. I mean, he didn't have anything to do with them. I think it's just based on original characters he created. So
let us know in the comments below if you want our next Halloween entries to be the Scanner series.
Oh man, there's six of them. We can't do it. Six movies.
After we went through 125,000 paranormal activities.
Yeah, those never ended, bro. So
what a dense amount of. Hey, so we're watching the Paranormal Activity series. The first one came out in like 2002. Yeah. And then they made 80 of them between now.
Alrighty. What are your first thoughts about the brood?
You know, surprisingly not sexy enough. But with that said, I do feel like this is... his most classic sort of horror story.
Yeah. There's very no thrills.
Yeah. It feels very like it was an attempt to be in a movie theater, like a horror movie, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, yeah, I mean, this still kind of predates, like The Omen and like shit like that, right? Because this kind of feels in that wheelhouse. And the more I think about it, the more I am impressed by the fact that Cronenberg was like so far ahead of everybody in the 70s. He was like,
so The Omen did come out in 76, and this one came out in 79.
Hmm.
So Cronenberg's a lying piece of shit and stole everything.
I take all that back. I take back everything I just said.
More like David pirating Berg.
Boner. But I do like that he always... I find a lot of his movies always have like this theme of like family issues, and then there's always like... this weird pseudo science experiment thing that's going on. And there's, of course, there's always like body horror stuff added to it.
Always nothing but white people.
Very white people. Yeah.
And
I mean, he's Canadian. You know, I mean,
isn't Basquiat Canadian too, right? Oh no, he was English. As a what's his name, Basquiat, right? No, he was English.
The artist?
Yeah, because there's a new thing coming out about him. So I've been like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch that.
Man, I haven't thought about him in forever. I just saw that one movie they made about him with an actor years ago.
The one with Jeffrey Wright, or the one with was it Jeffrey Wright?
No, it's
what's his name? Esposito, Carlo Giugno. He's a
black actor.
What's his name?
Isn't he a black actor?
Yeah, he plays the main Vought guy. And
Jeffrey Wright. For some reason, I thought you meant the other Wright. I'm thinking of Jeffrey Rush. The first thing I thought of. That's the wrong guy. Yes, I think it is Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Wright. Yeah. Julian Schnabel has made it. By close? Julian something, right?
Schnabel.
Yeah. He's a good director. He's okay. He hasn't made anything in a while, but he's made some stuff. He was friends with him, that particular director.
Oh, really?
I know it has nothing to do with the brood, but...
Yeah. this movie was okay. I liked it for what it was. I feel like I was very confused about what was going on at the beginning.
The pace of it was rough. Yeah.
I feel like that's because they don't want you to know right away what's going on, which I understand, I guess. It's just they make it seem like the bad guy is this innovative psychologist, right? That's trying to be the innovator and pioneer of something called orgasms? No, what are they called?
I don't know.
Psychoplasm?
That sounds correct.
Something like that? Psychoplasmics. Which is he thinks he can help people's mental states by changing their physiological state, which sometimes involves growing extra body parts, I guess. It was the point of it.
Right.
But it also revolves around these two main people, which I think was what he intended to write the story about, really. This divorced couple that are kind of fighting for custody of their daughter, who kind of looks a lot like the kid from Poltergeist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the wife has had a mental breakdown, I'm guessing was the point of it. And she went to this guy named Hal, who's like the renowned doctor about the what are they called? Psychoplastics? Psychoplasmics. God, I'm not going to remember that. Though they say it like 1,000 times in the movie. And she is now locked away because this psychologist is very hardcore about helping the people that he has. But then slowly some of the people that he's helping start to get murdered.
Right, yeah.
Which I didn't catch. I mean, I understand why they got murdered at the end of the movie now. But all those scenes felt so irrelevant that I did not understand why random people were dying.
Yeah.
I just assumed there was I'm going to get fucking canceled for saying this. I just thought there were smaller stature people hiding in the walls. So I thought the point of the movie was.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah,
I also didn't catch that there was 30 fucking people living in the same house. That went way over my head.
Yeah, it kind of gives off almost like a cult type thing where it's he's doing these therapies and it's new age, kind of gives the impression of new age way of dealing with trauma or whatever kind of mental illness that they may have. But the wife is the prize, whatever.
For patient. The psychoplasmics.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So
we know this because of the character named Michael that you get introduced to, and then he becomes basically the what is the term for this? It's not Deus Ex Machina, but he is our little exposition to understand what's going on at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Why he's kept alive. Yeah, and it kind of goes through this very dry, almost very verbatim kind of thing where it's they're going through a divorce, but it's just a lot of kid wrangling, talking, but there is that weird I would say Cornbury's really impressive as a filmmaker because he always has these weird long talking scenes in his movies.
Yeah.
Where you kind of don't know what you're quite understanding. It takes a second to kind of grasp what is exactly happening, and usually something that takes a minute to kind of put your head around. But then I felt like this was really in the very dramatic. Does that make sense? Yes. It's very drama heavy first part of this movie, which Could seem stale, I think, but
a little boring.
A little boring, yeah.
But then it really kicks off. Well, 27 minutes in is when you get your first murder, and for me, that's why I'm saying it was a little boring, because I was like, "How long have it's been? Like an hour, right?" And I was like, "Oh, it's 27 minutes. Shit."
Yeah, I was concerned. Like, what is the catch of this movie? And I think I read somewhere that you just gotta wait till the end. There's a very they said that it was pretty middling until the end, and then it's like,
yeah, it rather kicks up explosive. Pretty hard, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. So I could just, now I can kind of know what to expect a little bit.
And also kind of, I'm glad, when I saw the ending, I was like, oh, okay, honestly, the first 20 minutes aren't that important. Unless you really want to be involved with the story of this couple.
Yeah, I guess he was trying to just lay the groundwork for the type of therapy it was.
Yeah.
It's just like a lot of... it's just a lot of talking, so it's like a little dry, especially Oliver Reed's performance.
Yeah
he's very dry.
He's so dry, there's not even moisture on his neck because he's got a turtleneck on.
he was primarily talks through these therapies, and you can literally fall asleep. He's like the most British man I've ever met.
And it's like, so he does, his idea of couples therapy is like role playing, even to a degree of like kissing the other person. And then the cold open of this movie is you're watching him do that to Michael, the character Michael that we meet again later, and how Michael has like daddy issues. And Oliver Reed is saying shit like, oh, why don't you just put on pretty little dresses and you'll be my little girl and I won't have to worry about you again. And blah, 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 blah. And the character Michael's like, oh. And he turns around, and then that's when you see the first growth stuff on the body, which is supposed to be the psychoplasmic side effect.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, the camera turns and you see that it's a live session in a classroom. What?
Yeah.
But I do want to get to the first killing, when you see it should have made sense in my head, because these little, whatever they are, I guess you can call them the brood, right? That's what the title of the movie is. I don't know. I'm assuming. I assume this one character was, this is going to be the brood, even though I know what the word brood means and I should have assumed more, but here you go. But it is blonde like the little girl, so I had this idea of all the little girls murdering all these people. But there's this very dramatic first death where a bunch of milk gets knocked over because this little childlike creature is popping through ceiling panels. And
this
old lady looks up and she's like, oh, and this little whatever it is creature falls to the ground with a hammer and starts lightly tapping her all over her body. It was so rough to watch because this thing is literally lightly tapping this old woman all over her body, and then she dies. She got lightly tapped to death.
Yeah. Well, I think the brood child was breaking in for what I imagine is some sort of, I think this old grandmother was getting her groceries delivered in this little
That's right. Yeah.
It's very old fashioned, I think. It's you're getting your groceries delivered, and then but she has a little cupboard door by her out, that exits through the outside of the house, so I think there's a lot of groceries there, and I guess the kid broke in through there, the brood kid broke in from there, so,
and lightly tapped this lady to death.
Well, she was drinking a very neat bourbon, so I don't know, she could have been trashed. in the middle of the day. So,
it just takes a little couple of little light taps and then sayonara. Like,
watch out, John. Daydream.
It was so funny. Like, I wish we could share that clip when we release this and be like, yeah, this is what you're in for. It's just like little taps. Like this person was hitting very thin glass and didn't want to break it. Like, and then there's like another death later that, but we'll talk about the spoilers that made me laugh. Yeah.
Do we know if who's playing these brood kids? Is it kids dressed up or is it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming, you know,
short people. Short adult people? What's the proper name here?
Vertically challenged individuals.
We're talking like Willow. Like type of people.
No, okay. So it looks like they are all people of smaller stature.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, because this movie came out in 79, right? And one of these guys was born in 37.
Yeah, and there's... Okay, that makes sense. And they just put him in some like face prosthetic.
Yeah, or something. Which was all kind of the same face prosthetic, I think. Yeah, but this guy, one of the main guys, was in Spaceballs. He was an Ewok in Star Wars. He was in The Golden Child. Probably did stunts for the kid. Did stunts in E.T. Batman Returns. Okay. He was one of the Emperor Penguins. I didn't know that there's people in those things. That's blowing my mind a little bit.
Batman Remember? Begins?
Not Begins, sorry. Returns.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, the second one with what's-his-face, Tim. Yeah, there were some fake ones. There weren't all real penguins. There were some fake ones there.
What about the main one? What about the big main penguin? The one that
I think you know
there?
The answer to that.
Real.
CGI.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Do you want to get into spoilers? I really want to talk about this one death.
Did you enjoy it? Did you not enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. Like, you know, when the end happened, I was like, oh, okay, that was cool. I kind of enjoyed that. You're not guessing as to what or why things are happening anymore because it's, I mean, it's kind of spelled out for you. Mm-hmm. But
right, yeah.
I did like what the reveal was.
I think in the end I did enjoy it. Yeah. I think that it's very well accomplished movie. I think that's what Cronenberg does. He makes very competent, well made movies.
And this feels kind of like, it's weird to say, like Stereo, I didn't think it was a bad movie at all. It's very artsy.
Yeah.
This one was not artsy at all at the beginning, so I thought like, oh, maybe we hit a dud. But then, yeah, when the movie happened, I guess that's what I mean by this is like a horror movie, classic horror movie, because a lot of horror movies we watch, even though you should watch like the first 20 minutes, most of the time I'm like, you can skip to this point and just watch the movie from here because it's really good.
But yeah, I would say from the...
You know,
I think he did a lot of, maybe he spent too much time addressing like what the relationships were, the characters were, because as soon as like the first murder happens, it's kind of pretty conventional after that. It pretty much,
yeah,
you can kind of guess what happens from there on until they reveal why things are happening the way they're happening, which is, I thought was the best part of the movie.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's go to spoilers now.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. So, I mean, this isn't actually a spoiler, I don't think, but there is a part towards the end of the movie where their daughter goes to school with a bunch of other kids that are the same exact height, wearing the same exact sort of, you know, windbreaker clothes for snow, and for some reason a majority of these kids are also blonde like this girl, and then that's when you realize that there's more than one of these thingies, and the brood are there to collect her. and steal her. But before they do that, they kill the guy's new girlfriend, which I kept forgetting that's what she was.
Yes. Well, I mean, they were interested in each other, I guess, right? Like, she was interested in him.
I thought that was really funny because she's around a bunch of children and then these, like, little creatures, which you come to find out are basically little children, too, or supposed to be.
Right. Do you want to break down what they are after you explain
it? But they attack her with little toy wooden hammers. Little play school wooden hammers, and they kill her with those. I thought the shit was so funny. I was like, just kick them. Like, what are you doing? they are explained to be because the husband gets attacked at 1.2, right?
Right.
But is very, very quickly is able to disarm this creature, and then it just like keels over and dies.
There's
no real attack. It just like dies. There's something about there are these sacks of fluid in their necks that are feeding them, and once they go dry, these things just starve to death. They also have no teeth. They are colorblind and have no navel, which suggests they aren't born in utero, and they have no genitalia.
Which kind of bears out when we reveal how she's having them.
Seriously. But my favorite thing is at the end, Oliver Reed now has like, he's aware that he needs to correct his mistake. It wasn't like he was doing anything wrong the whole time either. It was just like, he was kind of a red herring, sort of. I mean, it is his fault that these things came into existence, but I don't think that was his intention. And it was too late, right?
He tries to redeem himself by trying to stop her because I think he finally understood what he was manipulating her to do. Does that make sense? What the therapy actually was producing from her, which are these sacks of brood kids all over her body.
Sacks of broods, Which, while he's trying to go and save the little girl, the daughter that got kidnapped by the brood, because, you know, the mom wants the kid, he sends the husband to go talk to her and be like, just be nice to her. I was like, okay. That's like essentially what he said. He's like, oh, just like, go talk to her, just be nice, okay, just be nice to her. He's like, okay. He's like, these things, they're from her. They aren't like her surrogate mother. He's like, because I think he mentions that, right? The husband?
Yeah.
Like, oh, they are treating her like a surrogate mother? He's like, no, they are essentially her children. And every time she gets mad or conflicted with somebody, you know, it awakens that part of her brain and they go and kill. So just be nice to her, okay? Just be like this.
Is the implication is that she's controlling them by dreaming?
I don't know if it's by dreaming, because towards the end, she's still awake when the attacks happen. I think they just can feel through her psychic, plasmic, whatever. She's able to control them like a brood, because I think the definition of the brood is like there is a hive mind.
Okay, you know? That makes sense. That explains the end too. Yeah, gotcha.
Which is also funny because I like typed in, I wanted to know what the creatures were before like I saw the very end of the movie. So I was typing in the brood and I was like, oh, they're aliens. And I forgot that I was looking at the Marvel idea of the brood characters. So I was wrong.
But why did they kill the mother? Was that... So I was confused. I thought that was her mother.
Yes. They had a disagreement at the beginning or something. It was very impassive. And then the dad was just in the wrong place because the brood thing hadn't gone home yet for whatever reason.
I think he was like threatening the doctor that he wanted to see his daughter take her out or something, like, right? He wanted to take her home?
I think he did, and the doctor did. Hal mentioned that to her, right? I think.
Yes, yeah, that they wanted to take you away from here or whatever.
Because I think he was being selfish about the psychic plasmic stuff But I also feel like he was like, you probably shouldn't talk to her.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And then that's... And then she was upset that the teacher love interest was getting too close to the daughter, right? Not necessarily the husband. She didn't care.
Yeah, just the daughter.
Oh, because she called, right? She called and it was like, who is this?
Oh, right? Yes. Like, that's why. That's right. Yeah.
That's what triggered her to send the her brood kids over to kill her.
So when the husband goes and talks to her at the end and she's wearing this flowy thing and he's like, no, you're the only woman for me. And she's like, I wish I could believe that. Is this what you want? And then she shows all her growths, like these huge tumors sacks all over her body and this one particular sack that she starts to peel open with her mouth, like she's biting the thing open,
licking the blood. Yeah.
And then a fetus comes out. And she starts to
fabulous
clean.
Moment.
Starts to I clean it with her tongue.
The slow part of this movie pays off at this end. So it's just like worth.
And this is where I think my top favorite moment of the movie happens. Not just like her licking the fetus clean of the blood and realizing right. The husband is disgusted by it. But yeah. While that's happening, the brood are attacking Oliver Reed
mm-hmm.
by what it... Visually, what I'm looking at is they're biting him to death. They don't have teeth. So I'm very confused.
Yeah.
And Oliver Reed just is like, nah. He's like fucking blasting him away. So boom boom, he's got a revolver, he's like and he dies.
Yeah
And he's... then the wife is like, well, if I can't have my daughter, you can't either, and kind of sends the brood to go kill her daughter. So husband has nothing to do
gnawing on her. Just by gnawing on her, not breaking the skin, just gnawing on her.
I think Oliver Reed died of disgust. He was like,
just died of boredom.
He's just like, I can't live anymore. Not my turtlenecks. Yeah. No. So the husband is forced, or ex-husband is forced to strangle his ex-wife to death.
Which I'm pretty sure is Kornberg's.
Let's bring on
make believe fantasy.
Dave. Let's bring Dave onto the podcast and ask him some questions about this.
Clearly wanted to strangle his ex-wife, supposedly. Pretty sure, because he could have handled murdering her any other way, but he decided to strangle her, which is very intent and very slow. So, I don't know. I'm reading too much into this, but
because he wanted to save his daughter from her. Yeah,
it's pretty the only much way. Yes. That's the only way. Decent filmmaker, his daughter, David Kornberg's daughter, not just his son.
That is the brood.
That is the brood.
Now we know what the brood is. The brood were psychic plasmics tumors.
Yeah. I think it was I think it was a lot of fun. I thought that the film was, again, I'm surprised at the quality of the filmmaking and like the storytelling and execution of the direction and everything. Like, Kornberg clearly is, I think what I'm realizing is I've missed the boat on Kornberg. I've always known he was great, but I've never really like looked deep into his filmography aside from, you know, the ones that
because you only ever saw Extends and you're like, nah, I don't need any more of this.
I'm good.
Nah, this movie sucks. You're like, he's amazing in Nightbreed. He's just an actor.
The actor? It's David Kornberg. Alrighty. Do you have any thoughts or you want to just rate it?
I mean, I got my rating already. I'm pretty set on this one. but I did, you know, after all, just really enjoyed this movie. But I think it's one of those, like, a payoff movie.
Yes. I, yeah. It's one of those where Yeah, the ending is really like kind of the best. I wouldn't say the best part, but it's a satisfying conclusion to the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones. Ooh,
sexy bones. Well, I know.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give the Cronin and Boninathon entry, The Brood, a surprising 6.9 sexy spooky Bonathon boners.
Nice. You got boners off this one? I'm surprised.
Hey, there were so many children. The suggestion was there was a lot of sex to be had, even though we found out later
it was wasn't. Yeah, it was sacks of kids. Yeah. No nudity. Oh no, there was nudity. There was
a little bit. Yeah.
Little bit. Tastefully, no. Tasteful nudity. So
Cronenberg's anti-feminist era. No, I was
kidding. He's still in.
I hate women era.
Yeah.
They don't deserve nudity in my film's era.
I think it was only one woman he hated in this movie. So,
yeah.
Alrighty, yeah, I'll give it a 7. The one that
played mentally unstable.
Yeah, the surrogate for his ex-wife. Yeah, that was the one he did not like.
Reminiscent of the mom in Carrie.
Yes. Yeah, I would closely compare that. That's a good comparison. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 7.
Nice, yeah.
Sexy spooky bones. Yeah. Alrighty. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky and bonin'.